Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone back to the studio. I'm Eric C. Jackson. Oh boy. So I know I've been going away for about a month. I have been working steadily on a website, on my partnership with Westcover, social media channels. I've been working on a lot of things behind the scenes, and my biggest challenge is I don't have a staff. I don't outsource anything. I don't outsource whether I'm working on the website or with my partnerships. I don't outsource anything, so I'm juggling different tasks and things like that, and so what I'm trying to do right now is just get everything settled in terms of how much I'm doing, so then I can just make a more conscientious effort to create a podcast every week. So what have I been doing? All right, so last time we spoke, which was about a month ago, I said I was making some major changes to the website, and I have. I'm finalizing the sync with Westcover because they are completely in sync with my Shopify store. So when I come over to the gallery, anytime I'm changing something, most of the changes are going to automatically sync with Westcover, which my Westcover store is here. And with Westcover, I filled in an application. And it took me a few times to get accepted on here, but once my application was accepted, and then I found out that I could sync my Shopify store with them because they're using Shopify as well. So I can sync it now. Everything, first of all, it takes about 24 to 36 hours for the sync to go through. And then I should see the updates on here. But my last update, which was a massive update, quite a few of the changes didn't go through, like the product descriptions. I can't change those automatically, so I have to go into each listing on here and update everything, which I have done that. I've done that. So now the pricing, there are some pricing changes. And those are the ones that are I'm finally trying to get in sync. So for example, so what I'm doing is these are open edition prints. I'm going to take the default off of the acrylic prints because the material is quite expensive. And the last couple of requests I had from potential clients were saying that they just wanted the print by itself. And so I changed my default pricing. Now, the acrylic prints can still be requested, right? But if you just go to the website or you go to Westcover, it's not going to be the default product. Now the default products is just going to be the print by itself, no extra material and no framing. So it's just going to be the print. And so, like I said, the last couple of requests were asking for just the print because the collector already had the matting and framing in mind. They just needed the photography, the print by itself. And I've been running into that a lot lately. And so now the cost of the material is going to come out of the price, which means that this is going to be lower than starting at $500. Okay, so select the size. It's got a 16 by 16 here, right? So Now, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be 150. For some reason, when it showed the range right here, it didn't show the correct price. So it starts at 150 instead of 500 now. And then it goes to 680, right? But when you're on the previous screen and you first click on it, if I can find that same artwork again, yeah, see, it's saying 500 to 2200, right? So now the other thing I have to mention is that the limited edition prints are no longer limited. They're all open. And none of the prints like this right here, none of these sold. So everything now is open, and I'm going to be outsourcing the entire printing process, because usually I would have to ship the certificate of authenticity. So that's not going to be included anymore, because it is going to be an open, they're all open edition prints now. So everything is going to be completely through the lab, as far as whatever orders come in. And then the other thing is that I never could fix the quantity on here, because before, this was supposed to max out at 7, but on Westcover they have just practically an unlimited amount that you can actually order as far as the number of prints on here. So now that's going to be in sync. It's totally open. So this is the only part that I'm working with the community manager now on fixing, because this is not the right price range. But if you just come to the page, you won't know what the actual price is. Now, I did go the past couple of days and change the details. So now it's open edition. It's still digitally signed. It is made to order. Instead of the Lumachrome, it's going to be on the Fujiflex crystal paper. And the production time is drastically decreased, because now it's only 3 business days instead of, if you do order the acrylic, the face mounted acrylic print, the production time is 10 to 14 business days. And it's going to come from a different printer. A different company is going to print that for me. And I believe that's, yeah, so about 25 of these listings on Westcover are not in sync as far as the price range. But if you do just pick a size, the actual price is going to come up correctly. So the 24 by 24 will be 270. And then the 36 by 36 is 680. So that's where these are. That's where these are. And let me see. Now, for this episode, for the podcast, we're going to be talking about a fresh approach to my work. Now, as you can see, most of my work is pretty straightforward as far as my style. There's not a lot of composites. There's not a lot of heavy, photo manipulation or anything like that, except for stuff like rapport. But for the most part, it's really straightforward as far as photography, the editing part of it goes. I do have the combination here of color and black and white, but that's not really changing the photograph drastically. And I am bringing the automobiles back, like I mentioned before. So the classic car enthusiasts, I know you guys will be happy about this. This is the 1957 Ford Thunderbird. This is the number 6 version, because I took several shots, and But you have to remember, like, this is from 2013 when I captured this shot. So, like I've said before, is that as time goes on, I start removing prints like this from the studio gallery and just to update it with new work. But I realized that people were still looking for prints like this, and then they were also looking for prints at a cheaper price point. And so the photographs that were just on my hard drives collecting dust, I decided, okay, I can bring those back at a lower price point. But in terms of what I submit to galleries, these are the types of photos that I won't submit. First of all, they're too old as far as the year goes. The quality is still good, but I think my style and my approach to my work is definitely going in a different direction. And so that's what I'm gonna jump into for this podcast. Now, as for the podcast, we always go live on Twitch, and then I take clips and I add clips to the YouTube channel, so that you guys can listen and watch it there as well, depending on which platform you're used to using, because everybody doesn't use Twitch, but then everyone doesn't use YouTube either. So I'm on both platforms. And then the thing about the Twitch platform is I also play video games on here from time to time, when I need a break. When I definitely need a break, I play games on the Twitch channel, and so that's what this channel is for. And what else? Okay, so I went over the West Cover news. So again, what I'm waiting for with the pricing here is we worked on this the past couple of days on Tuesday and yesterday, Friday. I'm told that this is going to get corrected. They've already updated it, but I'm waiting for the changes to kick in, and they just haven't right now. And so I'm going to come back tomorrow and see if this is the prices have updated like they're supposed to. Now, there's about 25 of these listings that the price is not the, like the price range like this, that's not correct. It's not 600 to 3300 anymore. So once you actually come here and you start at the 24 by 16, it actually starts at 180. That's where it actually starts. And then it goes up to the 60 by 40, and that's 1100. So like I said, they're no longer limited edition prints. They're open edition now, so there's just I can sell as many of them as will sell. And also the extra material that's pretty expensive, pretty costly. That's not the default price anymore. So the default price that you're going to see, either on the West Cover website or my official website, is just going to be the price for the print only. There is no mat to it. And I think only on the archival collection there is a mount included, because that's a different paper type. But for these, the Fuji Crystal, well, this is the Fuji Flex paper. The Fuji Flex paper is not mounted. Like the photo lab will not mount the Fuji Flex paper. And I'm thinking because of how thin the paper is, it's very thin. And it's incredibly glossy, but it's very thin. So I'm thinking that might be why they don't mat it. There's not a lot of weight to it. And then the smoothness of it, especially on the back of the paper, I don't even know if it will stay as far as the adhesive. So that might be the reason why I can't have it mounted. But again, it is going to be signed digitally. I sign it with my I sign like the the original file with the Apple Pencil. And then I flatten the image and send it off to the photo lab. So that's the news there. And then the other thing that's a major that I finally got fixed is on Pinterest. We finally, well, I should say I. But I was saying we, like, because I've been going back and forth with the community managers on Pinterest because I lost the verified status in June. They updated, Pinterest updated their policy. And so I lost my verification. And then I had trouble figuring out how to get my verification status, you know, back again. And that took several weeks, just on and off, like pull and tug, trying to figure out what's going on. And I ended up doing a little research on YouTube and found other small business owners that have run into the same problem. And one in particular, she was getting the same error messages that I was on Pinterest, because if something's not right, because Pinterest actually syncs to my website as well. So if something is not right with the sync, you'll get error messages. And if you have like critical error messages, then that's going to break. That's going to disable your verification, your verified status. So we were having the same error messages. She gave suggestions on what, you know, you could do if you were getting this error message. And so I tried that, and within 24 hours, once the update went through, I got my verification status back. And that was after months of just trying to figure out what was going on. So now, you go to my profile, the blue check mark is back. This is not a blue check mark that you can pay for. Like if you have Twitter, I think Facebook and Facebook, which is tied to Instagram, is coming out with something like this where you pay $8.99 a month or some type of subscription fee to get some semblance of a blue check mark. That's not what this is. This is just the old school way of getting your verified status. And so as I mentioned before, it took me, I filled out the application, I was denied, and then, but they also gave me steps on how I could get verified. And so I start implementing those steps at the beginning of the year in January of last year, I believe. And then by August, they actually emailed me. I didn't even have to resubmit to them. They emailed me and they were like, we're looking at your profile, you've, you know, implemented all the steps that you needed to implement, so submit your application again. And so I resubmitted at that time, and that's when I got the blue check mark here. But I don't pay any subscription fee or anything for this. What else is there? They updated their policies in the spring of this year. And then they were like, if I didn't meet that their new policies, they were going to disable it. So that's what happened. And like I said, I got it back probably last week. I finally got the blue check mark back. But it says this retailer meets Pinterest merchant guidelines. And then there's a learn more link there. So you just click that to learn more about what you would have to do to get your Pinterest page verified. And this is not the personal page, of course. This is a business account, which there's two different things. So yeah, you would create your business account for Pinterest and they'll let you know exactly what you need to do. And for me, I think the biggest thing is I had to rebrand everything across the board, whether it was on Facebook, Instagram, X, which is back then it was Twitter. The website, like the branding had to be more consistent. A lot of the personal photos I had on my social media, I had to get rid of those. Just like you know, everything has to be in sync across the board, and that really helps. And so that would be the biggest thing. And I don't think, like, followers doesn't have anything to do with it, because as you can see on my Instagram page, this is Eric C. Jackson Studio on Instagram. I have less than 200 followers, and my engagement on Instagram has definitely dropped since Facebook took it over, bought Instagram. It's like it's not anywhere close like the organic engagement of how it was before. And so I pretty much gave up trying to figure out the algorithm, and every time they change it and stuff like that. Like, I just, like, I'm not paying attention to that. So now my focus is just to reach out to, whether it's influencers or bigger brands or larger platforms, and have my work shown through there, because I get more engagement that way. In terms of organic engagement, Pinterest is pretty good. But of course, they are trying to get me to purchase ads on here as well. So there's that. But yeah, the automobiles are back. And let's see. I have a lot of work. I do. And then this is my other idea as far as downloads, giving collectors the option of purchasing a wallpaper for your phones. So there's that. I think what I'm gonna do with this is have, like, unique images, because these images you can purchase as prints, right? So I'm probably going to replace these with images that you can't purchase as prints. They're just going to be like digital only files that you can get. Like, the only way you can get the files is if you actually purchase one of the downloads. And this is big enough to fit on your phone. So for me, I have the iPhone 12 Pro Max. So I tested out, I test the wallpapers out on my phone, and as long as it fits pretty well, I'm like, okay, and then I add it to here. And so these three are probably gonna be replaced pretty soon with images that you just can't screenshot or get from anywhere else. But yeah, you just click on, and once you purchase it, you'll get a download. You'll get the small file sent to your email address, and then you'll just be able to download it and add it to your phone. So I feel like that's a really good way also to have people just be able to collect my work. Especially if the prints are outside of your budget. So now, in terms of different approach, I'm gonna go for this example here. All right, so what I want to do is share my editing process. Let's see if I have. I feel like I'm missing the raw file. Yeah, I feel like I'm missing the raw file. Hold on. Let me see if I can. If I see it. Okay, so here's the PSD. So this is the Photoshop file. But what I'm going to do is just take you through my start to finish. And here's the first one. This is just the basic, like, I like the composition of it, right? I like the composition. It's pretty good. Let me move my camera. Hold on. because it's in the way for sure. It's in the way for sure. All right. I think that's fine. Okay, so this is the image. Let me just move this over so you guys can see the whole thing. So this really isn't a starting point, but as far as composition, it is. These shots came out pretty dark. A little bit blurry. So the only thing I'm looking for is composition. Which composition jumps out at me. So it's just trying different compositions. So this one really grabbed my attention, right? But it's a little grainy in here. A little bit grainy. And so what I decided to do was clear it up, clean it up. Now, the only thing I did, I think I did a dehaze. And then I reduced the clarity on it. Right, and so reducing the clarity, it adds like a shallow depth of field to the photograph. And so now if you just compare the two, see, there's a lot of texture in here. And I definitely wanted to smooth it out. Make like just more finesse to it and not so grainy. So I think that's a big difference. I think that's a huge difference. Now, it still bothered me. Right, this could be a finished piece, but it still seemed like, you know what, I want to push it a little bit more, you know? And so I've been watching some tutorials from another fine art photographer, and I should have pulled up her page, her Instagram page. But I'm gonna let you guys know who she is. But I've been taking a few of her tutorials, and she does awesome work. And so I purchased a subscription from her from Patreon, and like I said, I'll show you guys who she is. And then I implemented the technique, the warp technique that I learned from her. To this piece. And so again, this is where it started, right? And then I cleaned it up as far as taking the grain out of it. And then I warped it. And you see how it just has more interest to it? It just seems more interesting to me. Now, in terms of the lighting, which is my favorite part, I turned it into a black and white just so that I could see what the lighting was doing in the shot. And then once I got the lighting where I wanted it, then I changed it back to color. And I'm like, you know what? This works. Right? This works. Wow. Yeah, it seems like my signature is in the way of this one. So I'm probably going to have to make it smaller and over here. But again, like this can actually be a finished product. And this can be a finished artwork. Honestly, it doesn't matter. But it you know, they can both be a version. Oh, here's the raw file right here. Okay. This is it. This is the raw file. And of course, the raw files, I labeled them all blue so that I can find where they are. Because I get different versions and then I start going into different ideas and it can get a little bit crazy. So I start labeling everything so I can keep up with where everything is. But yeah, I've changed this one file 4 or 5 times, but it's not done. So that's where that particular rendition is at. But then I changed it again because I was like, well, maybe I can push it a little bit more. So now we fast forward to where I ended. And that's where I ended right there. It's the same photograph, but it's completely distorted, manipulated, it's warped. And so it's the same warp technique. Let me just turn on the yellow so I can go back and forth. Hold on, let me turn these off and just go yellow. Okay, so now all my yellow labels. Okay, so there they are. That's a massive jump, right? So this is pretty much where the raw image started. I did tweak the lighting quite a bit. But again, it's just you smooth it out and then the distortion and then completely manipulate the entire thing. The only thing that I'm a little weary of is the lighting here. That is hot. And so what I need to do is order a proof print. Nothing crazy, just like a 4x6 Fuji Pearl. And make sure that this is not weird looking. Because on my screen, it depends on where I look at this at. But it can be a little bit jarring as far as how strong this light is. Here, I think this is fine. I think this is fine. It's just, do I want to push it beyond this? That's what I'm kind of going back and forth on. Or do I just want to have 3 different versions of the same photograph, which is not against any type of rule. Because they look, they look different. They all look different. So I don't know. And the style, stylistically, it depends on the style of the room as well. So you have to put it on the wall and say, okay, does this fit in this particular space? And since they're pretty, like, this has the most finesse to it. This is a little bit more edgy. And this one is just a lot of flair to it. It's really, really out there, you know. But I would say with these two, I guess my favorite would probably be this center one, but it's like really nothing wrong with the other two. I have to see, you know, I have to see. But that's what I mean by a fresh approach is just trying different techniques to see what else I can come up with creatively. Because the websites or the places where I submit my work, I'm always competing against other mediums of work. And so I've been thinking of ways to make my photography more interesting. And hopefully we'll catch, you know, more people's attention. And so this is one of the ways that I'm experimenting with on how to do that. Now, there are other files that I have to test. There's quite a few files, but it's called Warp, and I didn't know that it was in Photoshop, to be honest, but I'll show you guys what it does, or where it is, where the function is. Let's see, open. You know what? What am I doing? I can just double click this. There we go. There we go. All right. So if you go to the navigation bar at the top, very top, you go to, now I'm looking for it. Oh goodness. Oh wait, I'm on the wrong layer. I have to actually click the right layer and let me move my camera box again, because now it's in the way this way. But see my layers down here? Those are my layers. So my layers are here. So if you're on the wrong layer, which is, this is where my signature is, there's no pixels on it except for the signature, so that's not gonna work. So there, I click on the right layer, go to edit, and there it is. So then you go transform, and there's actually a drop-down menu, which I have never paid attention to. And then there's warp. And that's really what it is. It turns into what seems to be like a pen tool. See the little dots on the edges here? So that's just like a pen tool, right? But what's unique about this is you can click this from anywhere in the image and stretch it, right? So you can get some really weird I don't know. You can change this hundreds of times, to be honest. You really can. And see how you're getting these. Yeah, these are the anchors over here, to where you can click on this and move that, right? So that's really where it is. And then once you get everything where you want it, you just hit enter and it'll process. And then there we go. And to be honest, that's actually not bad. It's actually not bad. So I'm just saying, like, you can literally take one photograph that you really like, manipulate it a bunch of different ways, and then say, oh, okay, I want to keep this one. Now, the thing that I did forget to do is you have to change the layer before you warp it. You change the layer to a smart object before you warp it. So you have convert to smart object is here. And I know my camera window is a little bit in the way, but it's there, right? So you don't click on it, like the little thumbnail here, don't click on that, because if you right click the thumbnail, it's gonna bring up a different dialog box. So you have to get where, right click where the name is, and that's a different box or drop box. So your convert to smart object would be there. So before you warp it, click this, because if you decide to warp this again, like you can go back to edit, transform, warp. Now it didn't save your edits. So you can't go back to the original because it's not a smart object. It's just gonna, you're stuck at where this is. So it's just gonna be like a perfect box, right? And that's not ideal, because if you want to undo something that you did previously on a previous warp, you're not going to be able to undo it. If it's just a regular image, if it's not a smart object. So that's why I'm going to go backwards. And before I warp it, convert to smart object. And then I can go edit, transform, and warp. And like I said, you can move this however you want to move it. And I kind of doubt that you're going to come up with the same warp twice in a row. Because it's just going to be different. It's going to be different. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? So it's really distorted. Now, you see where everything is as far as your anchors? Okay. Now, if you go back to edit, now that it's a smart object, when you go back to edit, transform, warp, your edits are still there, right? So you can literally go back to the original, right? So here's your edge point. You would put that back pretty much where it is. You would take your anchor points, you start to put those back where they were, and you can try to undo everything that you did. And it's actually getting pretty close to where it was. Right. So that's the kind of sort of one that's fixed, and then that's the one that's fixed. Right. But it's up to you what you want to do. But yeah, those are all the options. Now, as far as, that's the only lesson I'm going to share. But no, I actually encourage you guys to go buy her or subscribe to her Patreon, because it's $20 a month. There's literally tons of Literally tons. Literally tons. This is another photographer she's working with, right? So I'm going to get her last name right. Sharon Tenenbaum. So you go to Sharon Tenenbaum Photography. That's where she is. And I think I mentioned her before that I was going to take some courses from her. But it's just the style of her work is crazy good. It's crazy good. So once you go from, like, she shows you the original and then what she ends up with, oh my goodness. And then I sat through, like, the videos are usually about an hour a piece. Man, it's a lot of information. And then she helps other photographers with their work and how they can improve and things like that. So she uses the pen tool a lot. She uses the warp tool a lot. She uses the gradient maps a lot. I'm getting used to using these things, but her architecture really, like, this is one of hers. Like, that is insane. That's insane. Like, this is a gradient, this little piece in here. Now, David's work, I'm not familiar with his work as well. But this looks interesting. It looks interesting. But anyway, you can go to, maybe this is another one. Now you see how this is warped? It just makes the work more interesting, more artistic, more creative, right? But then she blends a lot of techniques together and then does some composites and then she cuts some pieces out. It's crazy. It's a very time consuming process, but the end result I feel like is better. And so all of my work is not going to go in this direction. On some photographs I've worked on, it just doesn't work for that particular photograph. But there are a few, especially of the architecture I have when I took my trip to New York a few years ago. Some of that is definitely going to be definitely going to have some of her techniques on there. But like I said, you can be sitting there for a few hours on one image just to make sure the lighting is right and the style is right. The mood of the photograph is right. Working on the composition, all that type stuff. But it's for sure. I like the style of her work. This also interests me a lot. Like, this is crazy good. And so again, when I'm talking about a fresh approach to my work, this is the stuff I want to try. I like the technique. And even with this, I would do my best to try to probably make the lighting more edgy, right? But if I can get that effect and then I can work on the lighting, oh my goodness, for sure. For sure. Now, this reminds you of one of the shots that I have of the Oculus that's in New York. I think that's what this is. Because if you go to New York, you're a photographer, fine art photographer, you're definitely going to take a lot of photographs of this. So, for sure, I have something like this. Like, I'll show you guys what I have in mind in terms of warping. I have, like, this is one of them. That's the Oculus. And so here's one shot of it. This is actually Oculus and it has that bend to it, but there's no warping involved. I just composed the shot to the point where I wanted that bend, that curve to it. I didn't do anything with warping or photo manipulation with this. I just composed the shot. I worked a lot on the lighting of it, and that was it. I turned it to a black and white, and that's it, you know. So and then I like how it looks in this space. I think that looks really good. And then I actually sent this to Sharon to see what she thought of it, because what she was doing in her, the talk, it was like a talk session that she does with her students. So, I think there's one free each week or every 2 weeks or something like that. So she asked us to send photos in if we wanted them to get critiqued, and then sometimes she manipulates them or whatever if she thinks she can improve them. So I sent this one to her, and she didn't do anything to it. I was like, if she's going to do something awesome, I want you to do something awesome with this one. And she's like, this is fine. So I'm like, part of me is like, yay, okay, it's good. And part of me is like, man, I thought it was going to get, you know, pushed a little bit more with the curves. But yeah, she liked it. So I'm like, okay. So then I started looking at some of the other photographs that I had that are similar to this, because this is the Oculus as well. It's a different composition, right? Very is inversed, actually. The composition is inversed. So I didn't take the same shot and just rotate it 180. It's a different one, similar, but it's definitely a different shot. And then same structure. This one, see, it's just the lighting's different, you know. And this comes across more flat. Completely different style, because the lighting over here is so dark. So completely different style. But same structure, architecture. And then there's Displaced. Again, also the Oculus, but like, look how different this is compared to the other three. So it's just me trying to figure out how I can present this in a new way that hasn't been done like 100 times. So I'm just looking for that. But images like this can definitely be, that are more flat, they can be manipulated and warped, I should say. But I don't want to use this one. I want to use some of the other shots similar to this that I have, that are just sitting, where the composition isn't as good, but I like the pattern, the lighting. It's just the composition maybe is probably a little bit off. And so then I can kind of shape the composition with the warp, with the gradient maps, with the little shift in lighting. That's really what I would like to dive into. This one, same thing, the Oculus, but again, it looks completely different. Because this is a little bit more of a high key photograph where there is no deep shadows in it. So it changes the mood of the capture entirely, right? But I do feel like as far as the curvature of this, I can push that quite a bit more. So that's really what I want to try to do, for sure. But again, if you look at all five, exact same building, same day, it's just when you start editing, especially with digital photography, you can take it countless numbers of ways, like as far as the style, black and white to color, heavy manipulation to no manipulation. It's a lot of different ways that you can edit the work. So I'm trying to see if I did something similar with the World Trade Center, because here's a shot. That's the portrait layout, right? World Trade Center again and again, but this is a close up here. Here's this one, but I left that building in because this building is supposed to be in these two shots. But it's not. I took it out. And then this is the interior. Like, these are very heavy with the shadows, but this is very high key. Same interior, but just two different approaches in terms of the style of editing. These two are also more high key as far as lighting goes. So yeah. That's definitely the way that I want to go, for sure. For sure. Let me see where this link goes to her on her page. Like, look at this. That's crazy. Now, she travels, of course, like everywhere. Internationally, and so she learns like where to go as far as looking for the best cities as far as architecture, and that's definitely what I have to get into. And then here's a workshop. In this image stacking, learn more about becoming a Patreon. Can I go to this link? Yeah. So you can join Patreon. Like I said, I started sitting through her talk and learn, the free talk and learn sessions. There's over 150 videos that you can sit through, and she gives all types of advice. And then there's the other photographers there and talk and learn where they're giving their advice. And it's just a lot. it's a lot. It's a lot. But like this shot right here, like my camera's in the way. Hold on. I'm gonna show you guys this shot. This shot right here. You see how the building's warped? But you can't, like, she warps it in pieces, right? And she's really careful. And I mean, just hours of sitting there and trying things, doesn't work, try something else, and then it gets crazy. But she teaches about the lighting, the style, what she sees. Man, it's just her eye for composition is really, really good. So I'm like, for sure, trying my best to learn from her. Absolutely. Yeah, but this is the page. I don't think I can scroll down to show you guys, but this is the page. Postings and all this stuff. Now, when you go there before you're subscribed, all this stuff will be, the videos will be grayed out. But she sends messages when new videos are uploaded, so that's probably what these notifications and messages are. Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. So it's just me. Because I wear a lot of different hats. I wear a lot of different hats, and so it's just me taking time to sit still and go through the tutorials, and I'm very deliberate about which ones that I watch and which ones I need. I feel like wherever I feel like I need help on, then those are the ones that I really go for. But like I said, there's over 150. You just go to collections. I can show you guys this part. Yeah, so there's 33 videos here, 63 videos right now under Shop Talk, and then the Talk and Learns is 167. It's a lot of stuff. So definitely go ahead and check that part out. I wonder if there's a before and after on here. Yeah, so this is perfect. So here's the before. You see all this stuff in the background. All of this is like distractions. Like every time I watch her and with her teaching, she's like, get rid of all the distracting elements and just go for what draws your eye to the particular shot, right? And so now she's definitely cropped in, like all that other stuff is gone, and she definitely went for like what's the main focus, like where does your eye go, right, in this. So yeah, she's right in this area, and the rest of that stuff is gone or cropped out. Honestly, I don't think that there's a bunch of warping here. For the most part, the composition's there, right? The composition's there. Now, this goes back to one of the points I made about lighting, white balance. Her white balance on the camera is set for outside, right? That's why the lighting here looks orange. So, just from looking at it, and I haven't asked her, I can send her questions, but the white balance on her camera is set for outside. This is daylight. So, that's why this looks white, or like the lighting is nice here. Which means that anything that's tungsten lighting, it's gonna have this yellow, or it's like fluorescent. It's gonna be this yellow or orange sort of tone in terms of lighting goes, like the color of the light. So if she changed the white balance on her camera to tungsten or fluorescent, then this would be swapped, right? So the lighting here would be like a white or a light bluish, like a bluish color, a cooler color. And then the lighting outside would look bad. You know what I mean? So I mean when you're capturing both, like you've got light coming from outside and you've got tungsten or fluorescent lighting inside, you're just gonna have to make up your mind what you want to capture. Now, for me, if the inside lighting is really the subject, like if the like this is the really the subject, I would have switched my white balance on my camera to fit the lighting inside. Right, that's what I would have done. Now, and then I went over my horror stories before where I forgot to switch the white balance, so that does happen. But I will say that's what I would do. But this is a perfect example of how, in terms of white balance, the lighting is different at different temperatures. It just is. And I know this is going to sound weird, and so, because some of you guys won't know, but in terms of temperature, the cooler colors, like you see this blue, this is actually a hotter temperature than the yellow or orangish yellow in terms of temperature. Once you start getting to blue white, that's just incredibly high in temperature. The yellows and the oranges, it's still hot, of course, in terms of temperature, but not as much, not nearly as much. If you have a gas stove and you see on the very bottom where the flame first comes up from, you'll notice the blue and the white there on the gas stove. And then like midway towards the top of the flame, it goes into that orange and oranges and yellows, right? So the temperature of the flame there in that part of the flame is cooler, but near the bottom where you get the blues and the whites, sometimes there's a little bit of white there, that's extremely hot. So don't, please don't touch that. Oh my goodness. Anyway, so yeah, that's the lighting thing. And I say, like, if this is what you're trying to capture, change your white balance to fluorescent or tungsten, whichever lighting this is. Because when you convert it to black and white, that orange yellow is still going to impact how your black and white prints look. It's still going to add like a, I don't want to say like the yellow bleeds through, but it has an effect on the tone of the black and white image, right? But if you took it, if you captured it with the correct white balance, you'll be able to tell the difference, right? So you just go out, use a daylight setting inside, like on a shot like this. Take the photograph and then on the daylight setting, and then change it to tungsten or fluorescent, whichever one works, to the correct setting. Take that shot, same shot. And then when you go home, convert both of them to black and white. Just like, don't change all the settings or whatever. Just go generic black and white without messing with any of the adjustments. And you'll see that they're different in terms of tone. Right, one of them is going to be a little bit brighter, one of them is going to be a little bit darker as far as shadows, highlights, that type of thing. So it does make a difference. So that's why I say if you have both outside lighting and inside lighting, whatever your subject is, photograph according, like, have your white balance setting adjusted for whatever you're actually photographing as the subject. If this back here is just extra and you're not going to keep it, don't worry about correcting the white balance for that, because it's not really going to be in the shot anyway. Your main subject is here, so definitely change your white balance on the camera to, I'm guessing, tungsten, but sometimes on interiors like this, the lighting is fluorescent, so they have their fluorescent bulbs, especially those long ones. They're fluorescent. If there's a series of those little short bulbs, then that's definitely going to be tungsten lighting, for sure. Uh, And that's also important if you want to do like what's on this particular shot where, oh, it's not changing. I broke it. Where I have some of it's in color and then some of it's in black and white. And you don't know what you're going to do as far as editing all the time when you get home or you get to the studio. You don't know what you're going to do as far as editing, right? So you want to make sure that whatever the subject is, like the main subject, make sure the white balance setting on your camera is correct for that. And then everything else around it, you can fix that. Because it's not going to be like the main part of the composition. But yeah, this is one of my favorites. One of my favorites. So that's where I'm at, and that's basically what this episode is about. I hope you guys learned learned a little bit more about my process, about what you can do. And I think the main thing is, again, before you start editing with the warp or with anything really, you can turn your edits on and off if the layer is a smart object. Like this is my signature here. You can convert it to a smart object, but just understand that on the signatures, there is no pixels in this layer, except for the signature. So if I take this and try to warp it, that's the only thing that's going to get warped. That's it. You know, that's all. So, again, just before I go, and I'm gonna move my camera out of the way again. make sure that you have the right layer selected. You right click on where the name is, not the thumbnail, but the name. You come up and you convert to smart object. And then that's going to keep all of your edits intact. So then you come back over, edit, transform. And then there's scale, rotate, skew, distort perspective. You have a few more options down here. But for me, I'm just learning about the warp. And yeah, you can. I don't have a rhyme or reason about this. I'm just getting like a general sense of composition, right? So, like, what we talked about with composition basics, your rule of thirds, this is the line that your main subject should be sitting on, either of these. Like, especially where the intersections are. These are your main focal points. So, as long as it's somewhere around this area and on this line or near your line of thirds, your rule of thirds here, everything is cut up into thirds. So, you got the slice here, the middle slice here, the bottom slice here. Same thing vertically. Slice here, middle slice here, and then the last slice here. right? So your main subject should be sitting on this line. Now, again, can you break the rule? Of course. But for some odd reason, the human mind, I mean, people have studied this, like that's how our brains look at composition, as if the main subject is on these lines or at this intersection, the main focal point, the image looks better to us. Why that's the case, I don't know. That's just what it is. So, again, the rule can be broken, but it's definitely a starting place for me. Now, if you end up having the dots come underneath here and you end up with that, then you would have to create another layer underneath. So you would come here and there's your layer button. That's your empty layer. You would drag it underneath and then you would fill it with, I don't know, I usually fill mine with black. So there's the paintbrush, the paint bucket tool, and you just click in there, and there's your black. Now, that means that, which is what I did before, is I got to my move tool, which is V. I just click V, and it'll take you to the move tool. And then I go Command T. That's going to create the transform box. And then you can basically just, let's see, I can move this, right? There we go. I don't know, you can rotate, try different things like that, but just like I say, just in case you have no pixels around, or you have like the blank space back here like creeping in, depending on how much you warp the image, you can just create the layer behind it to fill in those gaps. And because I've got so much shadow in my work, I just use a black background. So yeah. This looks really nice, doesn't it? You can literally create, I don't know, countless images with this. So it's just like, I don't know. I don't know how far I'm going to go with this particular image, but I'm definitely going to move on to something different. And probably something with more, where the lighting is more even. And see where that goes. But that is my lesson for right now. So I hope that everyone got something out of this. I'm definitely going to go into, gosh, more content in terms of the subject matter that I talk about. It's just going to be very open. Whether it's poetry, film reviews, even politics, as long as it doesn't get too, because I don't like getting into arguments. I like sharing my thoughts, my opinions, my point of view, but I don't like getting into arguments. And so I don't know about the politics, but like whatever's just on my mind, whatever I feel like it's on my heart to say, that's what I like talk about. And this will be a great place to do it. But again, for the Twitch channel, for this category, this is definitely going to be art. And if it's something like too far outside of that, then on the Twitch, on his Twitch page, it's just going to be under just chatting, I'm assuming, because there's not really nothing else for that as far as categories go. And I'll you know, label or title the podcast on Twitch accordingly. And then when I add it to YouTube, Spotify, from the title, you guys will know what what I'm going to be discussing. But yeah, my interest in what I want to talk about is just sports. I mean, it goes all over the place. So, but I definitely want this to be a place where you know more about me. I get feedback from everyone else, from all of you. And it's dialogue, it's conversation. So, but for these in the art category, this is definitely what I'm doing. I have, gosh, so many more images. I was looking through it yesterday, but I have so many more images now. And I'll end on the ones, the podcast I did from the iPad, they were okay, but it was just awkward as far as the formatting goes. So I don't think I'll be able to do that. So what I'm going to have to do is bring the images over that I want to work on and share my process with you guys. And that'll just be better. And then if I have to fix the brightness, I'll do that on the iPad first. And then I'll bring it over to the Mac Mini, and I'm going to be able to share what I'm doing as far as editing with you guys a lot easier from this screen right here. But yeah, that's all I have for right now. And thank you all for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Thank you to the new followers. There are new stats and everything on Spotify, so I'm seeing the impressions and all of that come up. So thank you guys for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And everyone, take care. God bless.